Hey everyone, this is Lisa Monahan.
And this is Andy Clotfilter.
And you're listening to a special recess episode of 90s Court. What's up?
Bum, bum, bum.
It's special. It's a Saturday afternoon. I've had too much coffee. Let's see what happens, right?
I'm barely alive.
Same. Well, yeah, in many ways, same. So same. how are you? What's new?
You know what? Can I tell you something? It was a 4-day work week, and it felt like a 7-day work week because everything was just absolute chaos at work, which is fine. But as always, my beautiful, amazing, glorious Twitter followers have been just so much fun to have as company, and I've had so much fun posting and keeping people entertained. I did lose a bet. I made a bet. It was not a dollar bet, but with a person that we joke around on there a lot, Writers Review or Blue is her name. We bet on the Bears-Packers game, and I lost that bet. So I got to post a shame photo of me holding up a poster saying that the Green Bay Packers are amazing, Blue is amazing, and Aaron Rodgers is sexy, which was very difficult for me to do, but I did it.
All those things are true, though, so...
You know what's really hard to hear is the fact that the first time I've discovered that you are fond of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
I don't know anything about Aaron Rodgers. I just used to work with this lovely lady that was obsessed with him, and I've always liked the Packers for some reason, even though I've never lived in Green Bay. So who cares?
So how was your week?
It was fine. Literally nothing else matters other than I'm going to go see it tonight. Yes. Alone.
Ah, so bold, so brave.
I'm just gonna sit down in my chair, take in one big deep breath, and just start screaming for 2 hours and 49 minutes straight.
And all of the children in the film in the theater are just like, "Mom, why is that woman so scared?"
Because she's a mom, and these are all real life threats, I guess.
She's terrified. Fortunately, they're all adults and they're grown up now. Like, and the acting, the theater, the people in that movie look amazing. Mm-hmm. And this is also relevant to 90s because I can tell you this is that it is the movie that, amongst everything else, like I've talked about on Facebook about Ernest Scared Stupid, about how that one was a bad one and the fact that it gave me nightmares and stuff like that because I watched it way too young, mm-hmm. even though it was a freaking comedy. It was the movie that absolutely 100% number one movie that I saw too young and was devastated by.
Mm-hmm. It's a completely terrifying movie. Yeah, the original OG It is terrifying. Didn't it come out in the '80s or was it nineties?
Oh, maybe it was, but I remember.
Whatever. We were alive and nineties years old. when we saw it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for you though, because I definitely need to see that whenever it comes out. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, recess means short and sweet, right? So yeah. I feel like we should get into it, right? Because I need to get my brain set up for going to get terrified tonight. So I wanted to bring to the table something that I've thought about on and off over time and really dove into recently. And I was like, wow, this was, in the words of Andy, really just like hot garbage. Maybe you would not feel the same way. What I'm talking about is the game show, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? I think I thought like, oh, this is fun. And then I went and I looked it up and I actually watched an entire episode. I was like, this was a terrible mistake.
I regret this immediately.
I regret it immediately is right. It was on PBS and it aired from 91 to 95, even though the original game itself was back in the 80s. The game show is what I'm talking about. And it was in the 90s. This to me, I had no idea the premise for the creation of this game. Are you aware? Because it was created partially in response to a National Geographic survey that showed that Americans had what they said, quote unquote, alarmingly little knowledge of geography.
Yes. I heard true. That.
Jack is like, oh, I've traveled to here, blank, blank, blank. I'm like, I don't. Is it like Ohio? Did you go to Columbus, Ohio? Even I don't know where that is. So like, yeah, Americans kind of bad at geography. But just to hear that that's why it was created. But like, do you remember the host, Greg Lee?
I feel like, let me see. I'm not sure if I remember.
Look, this guy, you'll see his face would be like, oh, that guy. And then
I remember the lady who was like the police commissioner or whatever. Yeah, like she was a badass.
Yeah. The chief, Lynn Thigpen was her name. She's passed. R.I.P. Lynn Thigpen. Aww. She was the head of Acme Crime Net, and she was also the kind of announcer of the show. But to me, there are all these other facets of the game. I'm going to take a moment and talk about Rockapella, the acapella musicians that ran this show. It's just like, oh, just think for a moment, a show that tries to teach Americans to be less stupid about geography, and it's musically backed by an acapella group. And it's just like, it's a fucking nightmare. Like, I went back and watched an episode. I was like, this is awful, because it's the audience, they have an audience. It is children. The contestants are children who are ages 10 to 14 or something like that, to try to learn about where things are in the world. It's like, okay, cute premise. This is boring as shit. And the audience is like silent. Do you know like Creed shreds and videos like that, where it'll be like, you know, someone banging on a drum and then dead silence, just showing it. Like, that's just what this is. It's like Greg Lee, the host, trying to be like, oh, I'm dancing now because here comes the acapella group. And then no one, the kids aren't smiling. No one's having a good time.
We're having a bad time.
It's a secret school, but it's on TV and you're being shamed for it. All right.
Can I ask you something?
Of course.
Did you hear, I was playing that song in the background. Did you hear that at all? Because you were not reacting to it.
I didn't hear it at all. Okay. But
apparently it's just in my headset, but I wanted you to know I was grooving to it while you were talking about the acapellas.
Yeah, well, I'm glad someone was, because you are literally the only person, aside from Greg Lee, the host, that has ever danced to Rockabella.
Disagree. We're going to have a poll up about that.
Fine. Hit me up. I'll take you all down, because acapella is trash. Anyway, congratulations if you're a great singer. But the crooks, like, I'll just do a quick and dirty of the crooks. There were, the whole point was, like, you're trying to find Carmen Sandiego in by way of trying to learn about the world. It's a cute idea. Carmen Sandiego herself is a master criminal who's trying to help all these other crooks evade detection. Your ultimate goal of the game was to try to find, by way of clues, where Carmen was. There was the Contessa, who is the criminal style. Double Trouble. Please look this up, Andy. Look up Double Trouble, Carmen Sandiego. They call it the yin and yang party boy twins with quarter moon shaped heads. Just, that's a sentence. Party boy twins with quarter moon shaped heads.
Are these supposed to be bad guys?
They're supposed to be. It says, like, I actually want to go party with Double Trouble.
They look like pretty rocking dudes.
There's
That's always the feeling I got, was that all of the, like, at least Carmen Sandiego and all of them were just kind of badasses, like the bad guys, and we're all a bunch of nerds trying to catch them. We're like, just leave them alone.
They seem like pretty good guys. I feel like they have a good idea of what they're trying to do. Let them do their thing. But anyway, Robo-Crook, Vic the Slick, who was some kind of gross salesman, like all salesmen. He was just a shifty-eyed guy, Wonder Rat. And I can't remember... it was like Patty Larceny or something was her name. That was one of the episode I watched today. But,
Patty Larceny.
And this whole show is just puns. And the guy would be like, oh, here comes a clue. You know, here's Greg Lee trying to like make this thing enjoyable. And it's just like, this is awful. And I mean, he was flub because it was PBS and it was a show. And you think like a clue would just go flying out of his hand and he'd have to go around the booth and pick it up and like put it, you know. But there were just excuses to have like skits in the chief's office with her. And if you remember the phone tap bits, so that it would be like Carmen talking to the crook to provide like little clues about where they were that day. But honestly, this whole show is just an excuse to be able to use the acapella group for anything. And if you were the episode I was watching with, the guy had like a, because it was the 90s, right? Early 90s, mullet. But it wasn't just a mullet, Andy. The mullet part in the back was like cornbro rated. So it braided. So it was like regular hair and then like beaded, braided cornrows in the back.
Oh, God.
It was a lot. It was a lot to take in. It was a lot.
I can't handle this.
So but here's to me, some of the saddest stuff was like your prizes, right? So if you lost before you made it to like the final rounds, third place contestant got an Atlas, a watch, a t-shirt. And a National Geographic World Magazine subscription and a Globe basketball. It's like, neat.
I'm in. Give me those things.
Yeah, that was all part of the Acme travel kit. If the second place person lost out, they'd also get that kit, but they would get a World Ham radio. And then in first place, if you were successful in catching Carmen, you got to get a trip to anywhere you wanted to in North America, Like, oh, I can't wait to go to Milwaukee.
I'm going to Cleveland. Woo!
It's true. But in order to get that, to me, this was really challenging. They would, if you remember, they'd have like a continent laid out on the ground and they would start calling out countries and you would have to go like, pop, 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 put a placard. Like they'd be like, where's Mozambique? And you'd have to drop it on Mozambique. And like, where's, you know, and they would just keep doing that. And I was like, there's no way. You'd be like, I'm so
glad you're talking about this.
Yeah.
Because this was, I was literally going to say, this next to, in Legends of the Hidden Temple, the temple games or whatever,
yeah.
This game probably had the lowest success rate of any game on television.
Yeah.
That and the temple games of Legend of the Hidden Temple, because it was just so, especially like Africa, I'm like, I couldn't just like, you mm-hmm. know, it's freaking crazy.
Yeah. Well, then he was like shouting out places and I was like, that's a place I didn't. Okay. That sounds great. I don't know. But like, they would have been like, you will take home $100 billion.
Yeah.
If you can show me where Germany is on this map, I'd be like, I'm just going to go ahead and save myself the embarrassment and leave. It's like,
I'd have at least Germany? The 50%. Like, no. I'm pretty sure I could get that one. But yeah, but no, seriously, like you said about them shouting out the things about like Africa or like South America is not as bad, but Africa, there's so many countries there. And like, there's just so many places where there's so many. And then they're just the fact that they don't get to say, hey, let me try and find, oh, I know where Egypt is. I know where Morocco is. Like at least starting out with the ones I know, they're like, no, we're just going to pick the ones and you have to tell us where they are.
Yep.
Crazy.
So brutal. So, but I want to say when I was watching this episode this morning while the kids were watching Doug, very 90s morning this morning. But I turned the episode, I turned off Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, and Max was like, thank you for turning that off. He said, thank you for turning that stuff off. And I was like, and that, my friend, is how popular Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego in 2019. So, I mean, it was just the whole thing is all just the a cappella group and like a really painfully difficult, if you're not good at geography, which no one is apparently, except for maybe my husband, but that's like it. So
can I give you a quick stat? Cause this is just as I'm reading it about
sure.
the San Diego show. So there's a few things, one of which the show won seven daytime Emmys.
Okay.
It cool. received a 1992 Peabody Award.
Okay.
And most importantly, in 2001, TV Guide ranked the show as number 47 on the list of 50 greatest game shows of all time. Which I only say that to 100% just like in response to everything you said. I'm going to be honest. The show is not great.
No.
But I just can't believe, like, I'm like, there's somewhere a happy medium between your side of it and this side of it is that
yeah.
like it did not deserve those things.
It's true. It did not. It was, I mean, I'm sure it was probably... For an educational show, like the premise was awesome. I totally applaud them for trying to turn our ignorance about the world into something enjoyable, but it just wasn't. It's like, maybe you choose a rock band. They're like, no, check this out. No rock band. Put that idea away. A cappella group.
Yes.
It's like, no, they're like, well, what if it were like cool Crime Stoppers? It's like, no, here, shut up. Listen, what if I poorly draw characters and give them terrible voice acting. And then that's our show with an a cappella group.
Yeah, I just...
Like, in a painfully difficult final round to get a trip to anywhere in North America. Wah, just, wah, wah, wah. Tallahassee, I'm here terrible. I come.
Tallahassee.
No, I almost had Tallahassee. No, you didn't. No, you don't know where Iceland is.
You did not know. You did not know where any of that was. So hot news, hot off the presses. Are you aware of this, Lisa?
What?
That there is a current running Carmen Sandiego cartoon show on Netflix.
Why?
As of 2019, they brought back Carmen Sandiego. It's actually like a kids show,
right.
But it is available. So if you're needing any of that, any more Carmen Sandiego content. It is rated Y7, so I'm pretty sure your kids could watch.
They're getting that. There. I don't know. I feel like
it is Patty 8 out of 10 Larceny. Stars.
No,
Patty
I'm not
Larceny.
I'm not going to do this to my children. They don't deserve this. They act like hell sometimes, but that's not. I mean, that's a punishment. They don't deserve it.
It's not the game show though. It's just the TV show. But anyways, okay.
Sure. That's a good point. It's a good point. But anyway, that's. I mean. I'm probably going to get yelled at for not digging on Carmen Sandiego, but I just needed to revisit that with you. I had to do it.
Fair.
Fair. So, anywho. So, wrapping up, Carmen Sandiego putting that hot garbage further into the trash compactor. Why don't we bring up From the Depths of Hell some lyrics?
Depths of Hell is right.
This is a good one. This has a very special place to me. Okay?
Sigh. Long sigh.
It is a song. I would assume you would know. I specifically chose it because I think you might know it. But
thank God, I finally might get one.
Okay, I'm just gonna start from the beginning because I feel
this is poetry reading.
Poetry reading. I'm going to poetically read some lyrics to you to see if you can guess the song from which it came from. Ready?
Okay.
Here we go. I had visions. I was in them. I was looking into the mirror to see a little bit clearer. Rottenness and evil in me. Fingertips have memories. Mine can't forget the curves of your body.
Your body.
And when I feel...
I feel a bit not... Flagpole Sitta!
There it is.
Thank you so much. I was like listening and I was like, I know this. Like, and I knew it. And then I just couldn't think of the name of the song.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I was trying to go like the next line forward to like the thing. And I'm like, oh, they don't say the name of this song, but this is definitely Flagpole Sitta by a band whose name I don't remember.
Harvey Danger. Based out of Seattle. And I have partied with Sean Nelson, the lead singer with all the curly hair. I've partied with him. We're friends on Facebook, actually.
My life is far less interesting.
It's not. I mean, it's only interesting in that, like, he would never remember me, period. But yeah, I was like, true. I partied with you once about 10 years ago.
I partied with a person who wouldn't remember me.
But my friend was obsessed with him at the time and just sat there staring at him and smiling. And I was like, this is cute. This is 2009, like, way beyond when Harvey Danger was hot. But it's like, this is still adorable
to
watch.
That's such a good song. I'm sorry, like, because that's the thing is I'm terrible with song names. So you totally could have... I could have known the entire song and not known the song name. Fortunately, that one is enough of a banger that I did remember it. So.
Also, can we talk about how I actually didn't know? I'd never really read the lyrics, and I was reading this before the show, and I was like, oh, this is a sexual song.
Oh, no.
It is. This, and when I feel a bit naughty, I run it up the flagpole and see who salutes, but no one ever does.
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
I mean, I applaud that.
Can I tell you something? I did not know that until this moment either.
Yeah, you were today years old.
I was today years old when I realized the horrible graphic nature of this song.
It's pretty cool. I'm glad that they hit it. I mean, maybe other people who were of older age than we were when this song came out were like, yeah, no, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you just shut your mouth, other people? How's that sound?
We're young children. This is just a fun song with a boy with crazy hair.
Crazy.
So anyways,
we had a pretty long first segment. You think we should take a quick break?
I could use a breather. Let's do it.
I as well.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back, everybody.
We did it.
We did, in fact, do it. The break was so good. And we have a few things we'd like to discuss from this week. The court case from last week. Bum, 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 bum.
Who won? I know who won.
Shocking twist of events. Oreos came out on top. So we did do polls. We actually did the same poll in both Facebook and Twitter. And I'll tell you what, I was nervous on Twitter with the poll for a hot minute. And then people came to their senses, apparently. And man, there was a huge showing on there on Twitter for that. So percentage-wise, Street Fighter 2 versus Mortal Kombat.
Hmm.
On Facebook, Mortal Kombat came out on top, 69% to 31%.
Wanky, wanky.
A lot more casuals, we'll say, in the Facebook community who don't have quite as much fervor for games. On Twitter, however, where the true fans of video games, I have a lot of video game followers on there, people of fans of retro games. Mortal Kombat came out ahead, but like I said, for the first like half of the poll, it was all Street Fighter. Like they were just on top of it. And then Mortal Kombat surged, I say, and came out on top 54% to 46%. So
that's closer.
I will give you that. That was very close. So to our true gamers, they acknowledge and respect the metal of your case.
All right, there it is. I mean, I brought it. Chun-Li brought it.
Yeah, that was the second closest one, I'd say, to the first poll, which was Independence Day versus Twister, where it was 50%. And then this, after our episode, when we gave the stat on what the poll was, somebody went in there and hopped in and voted for Twister just to put you over the top.
Yes, yes.
I can't believe they did that. Those jerks. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take everybody back. It's been a while.
I want to go on a trip. Let's do it.
Take you back to Andy's. Let's just picture we're in a bedroom, not in a weird way. I'm like I'm 7 or 8 years old. I got my Genesis out. And I just rented this game from the store, because of course that's like, it's funny to me, like I reference now, like thinking about games that I'm like, I played this game so much and I did not own it, like, which is crazy. There's so many different games like that where I never owned them because there were so many video stores and video game stores, even like in my hometown, a small town, there was like no chain store. So it was all just these smaller ones where you'd rent them. And inevitably, a lot of the times they'd be checked out forever and you'd have to wait for them to come out. But I'd like to talk to you briefly about an action adventure game that came out for, it was a Sega exclusive for the most part, which is not super common aside from like Sonic the Hedgehog and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Especially for games that I feel like particularly fond to, because a lot of them came out on SNES and Sega. This is a game that had been rumored throughout the industry prior to its release in 1992. People apparently have been talking about this, which when you find out what it is, it's weird that this was a topic of hot gossip. I'd like to tell you a quick backstory on how this game was founded. So the developer of the game was named Ed Annunziata.
Okay.
Who carried out the research on a subject. He basically had been reading this book called Sounding by Hank Searles, which was explaining some different features of echolocation. While he was working on with a music team on the soundtrack, playing them songs from Pink Floyd, basically saying, hey, we're trying to get something similar like this. Something a little bit more Pink Floydian and rad like that. Essentially, what ended up coming afterwards was that the game was John C. Lilly, another party who actually had something to do with this as well. He thought of this because he spent a lot of time studying dolphins.
Okay.
And also had done a lot of experience with psychedelic substances. And that is how they ended up coming up with the name Echo, because of his ability to echolocate. And that's where we found the amazing, groundbreaking game, Echo the Dolphin.
What are you talking about? This is a game?
You've never heard of Echo the
Dolphin? I'm hearing about it right now.
It's a Genesis exclusive, and it is a cult favorite.
Okay.
So let me tell y'all about the game Echo the Dolphin.
Okay.
Where if you want to know about it, you're thinking like, oh, is it like a bipedal dolphin that's like walking around? Does it have cool shades? Is it like dressed up like real cool and looks like a badass? No, it's a fucking dolphin. You are just a dolphin, like a generic ass dolphin swimming around in the ocean. And it's so wild.
you would go check this game out?
Yes, this was a very good game.
It was,
so evidently, so it seemed buck wild, like, because the general, like, you're looking at it, it's literally just a picture of a 2D dolphin floating in water. The game basically had it where you would go at high speeds to ram into enemies. You had to swim faster with certain buttons and everything like that. And you also had to jump out of the water to get air because there was an air meter. Because they're like, we know that they're dolphins, so you need to go get air sometimes. the premise of the game to start out. So you're like, there's your Echo the Bottlenose Dolphin. He and his squad are swimming home from their bay. A pod mate of his challenges to see how high he can jump in the air. And Echo's like, fuck yeah, let's do it. Cause the Echo's not gonna, you know, fall down from a fight. He's gonna fucking show what's up. So he jumps out of the air to show him how high he can jump. At that time, a water spout forms and sucks all of the marine life out of the bay except Echo, because he happened to be in the air at that exact moment. He comes back down and he's the only thing in the bay. So he basically is spending this entire time trying to find his he's trying to find his family that was like kidnapped and everything, and all these creatures that were taken out of the bay.
What?
So what ended up happening, this is the part that I did not know about, so evident that I don't remember, was that apparently there was an asterite to this creature called the asterite, the oldest creature on Earth. He had to leave the Arctic to travel deep into deep caverns where he finds the asterite. Essentially what ended up happening was that he ends up traveling back in time in a time machine.
Of course. Well, I mean, what dolphin doesn't?
Built by the Atlanteans, which I this is what drives me crazy about this. I did not play this game enough or was not good enough at it to know all of these facts, is that, like, this is just a dolphin-ass dolphin. Like, this is just, like look up a picture of Echo. It is just, like, hey, what's up? Think of a stock generic dolphin. Like, they didn't try and make it radical or be like, oh, man, look how futuristic. No. So he has to travel back in time.
No laser eyes. Just dorsal fins.
Yeah. So evidently there is a alien species known as the Vortex.
Sure.
Which had lost the ability to make their own food. So every 500 years, they would harvest from the waters of the Earth. And that's what caused this whole thing. And
yo, that's dark.
Yeah, it gets wild, family. So he's obviously, you're going back in time, you're fighting some ancient creatures and everything like that, you know, in the water. And at the end of the thing, there's a part where there's this big machine, like, and he ends up basically his echo, some kind of, he gets this ability basically where his echo locator is weaponized basically, and he uses it to destroy this machine that's like sucking all the wildlife out, and ends up defeating them. And then he goes back to his original time, and all of his pod is returned and lives happily ever after.
Okay.
It might shock you to know I did not beat this game to know this graphic and horrific fate. I just needed to share this with everybody because, again, please do yourself a favor, search Echo the Dolphin, the 1992 version, where it's literally just like, the picture I got here is just a picture of a dolphin floating in water with two other dolphins. And I just remember you're like going through there. And I do remember like speeding forward and like using that, and you can use echolocating and you can sing and everything like that to interact with different creatures and everything as well. But no, this was a banger of a game. And it was, like I said, it was a Sega exclusive. It was on Sega Genesis or Sega Mega Drive, as it was known in other countries. Game Gear, Sega Master System, Sega CD was available on Windows eventually. And then more recently, it's available on, of course, Xbox Live Arcade, Nintendo 3DS, and various other stores that you can buy older games now. So did you have any questions for me about this?
Since I've literally never heard about it until this episode, like 6 minutes ago, I did a quick Google search, and some usgamer.net, Echo the Dolphin celebrates 25 infuriating years of life.
Infuriating.
this quote is hilarious. There's so much to love about this weird, wonderful game, but actually playing it is like sticking your face in a barrel of snapping turtles. So it must have been a pretty challenging game as well. But
that's probably it, because that's why I was always like, well, I didn't get to any of the cool plot lines because I was a child and rented it and died.
Yeah, this is awful. Yeah, I mean, this
awful.
It looks like a crazy game. Like, I kind of want to play it now, but I mean, like, I love a challenging game. I really, really love a challenging game. But this
one
is like...
Like, I have a 3DS, which I mentioned on Twitter recently, that, like, I just found... I found, like, I literally, because of all of the retro game people on Twitter, was like, people were talking about 3DSs, and I was like, oh, I think I bought one of those once, and I just went through a bunch of old boxes, and I was like, oh, look at that, I have it, and I just hadn't had it. I, like, literally hadn't used it in, like, 3 years, and it had just been sitting in this box, so I could probably go in the game store and download it right now if I wanted to.
You should, and punish yourself for the next 25 years, you know? Until better. Yeah. This is not one. I never had a Sega. I always, like, all my cousins had it, but I never had it. Hold and on. So I never have one.
You told me, like, you were talking about how you had no SNES games, and I thought Sega was the one you played all the time. So
No. I never had a Super Nintendo. I had the regular Nintendo, and then I had I think I held on to the Super Nintendo until I got an N64. Like I had
Nintendo.
I had OG. OG NES.
Oh, it was your cousins that had Sega that you were, because that's why I thought you would have heard of this, because you said you had Sega. So
yeah, I never had Sega. I never had the Dreamcast. I never had the Super Nintendo. But I had enough neighbors, like I had connections. I knew how to make friends in order to get what I wanted, right? So I could get my fix
like a teen getting alcohol.
Just to be like, hey, I'll give you $20 if you'd let me play Super Mario World, Yoshi's Island, please. Yoshi's Island.
Hell yeah.
Someone help me. So, but yeah, but this would have been like, I would have never seen this because I never had exposure to it. It looks so weird, given, but I'm into it. Now I'm into it.
So anyways, I think that's gonna do it for us here this week. Do you want to do our closing bits here, talking about some things?
For sure. You know where to listen to us because you're already listening to us. But if you need more places to listen to us, how about a Podcoin app? Basically anywhere you listen to podcasts. We'd super appreciate you subscribing to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love a review and rating on Apple Podcasts if you would. Oh, I love that. I'll have to go read those. We are on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court, Instagram 90s.court, Gmail is 90scourt@gmail.com. We are basically anywhere, and just go hit up Twitter because Andy basically has it connected to an IP to himself all day long.
I feed off of my Twitter.
It's true. It's a constant IP drip of 90s in and out of him all day. Listen to us, rate, review, and we hope to see you next week for episode 7's coming up.
We should be having I think episode 7 should be coming out in the next couple days.
Get ready, guys. It'll be a doozy. Sayonara, suckers.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.